greet each of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. The subject this morning was so thoroughly introduced that I could just say amen to it and sit back down, and you got the message. But I believe God has called me to share what he has given me this morning. And I beg an interest in your prayers as we go through the message that the Spirit would have free course and continue to lead out as he has started leading. This morning, I have titled my message, Are You a Tree? And the burden of the message this morning is to look at the frailty of man without God, what we are by our human nature, what we are in our flesh, and then to point us to God and where we get strength to be overcomers, to be something. Because as we look at the journey of man, without factoring God, it's not a very pretty picture. It's a journey that looks like Adam's journey in the garden. Failure, weakness. Turn with me to Job 14 to introduce that part of the message. I've titled this, Our Situation, The Natural Journey of Man. This morning is Father's Day, and I'm weaving that into the message. But there's something here for each of you. Don't close your ears if you're not a father this morning, because there's something here for each one of us. Job 14. I want to read the chapter at this time. Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret, until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones, thou washest away the things which grew out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance, and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. And I could ask the question that Anthony asked at the outstart about why do you come to church? He asked us the question, did we ever come to church just because that was the thing to do? And my mind raises a question, did you ever in your life experience what Job is saying here? Pain, affliction, trial, seemingly no purpose. He says here in the first two verses, the life of man is short and troublesome. That was his summary of man's life, is short and troublesome. He goes on to say in verse 4, we are unclean and vile. This is a description of man in his flesh. A description of man in control of his own life. We're unclean and vile. Verse 5, he recognizes the fact that God controls our boundaries. You know, God has something in store for man. He sets his limits. He has say over the circumstances that pass in the life of man. Going on, verse 7 gives us a ray of hope. He says, there is hope of a tree that is cut down, that it will sprout again. Even as we feel the pain, the trials of life, the disappointments, he says, there is hope of a tree that is cut down, that it can sprout again. And that's something I want to drill into our minds this morning. If you find yourself being one that is cut down, that God's taken his pruning shears and just cutting right through you, there's hope of sprouting again. Verses 8 and 9, just continuing that thought a bit. Through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Where does that water come from? I believe that water comes from God. He puts water there so that there can be life, there can be growth, that there can be something beautiful for him, rather than, in the face of the pains and trials of life. Verses 10 through 14, 10 to 13 especially, we see here Job's situation in life was such, and his focus such, that his desire was an escape through death. That's what he was feeling in his heart right then. And he wished for an escape through death. He felt the pain was that strong that there could nothing good come out of it. But he raises a question in verse 14 that changes this whole thought process. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? And we know the answer to that. And Job knew the answer to that. He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He realized that the time on earth is but a short appointment. And that afterward, there's going to be a change that comes. So, in the midst of the pain and trial of life, Job is realizing that someday, even if it does not happen in this life, there will be a change. Something different is going to happen. He says in verse 15, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to me, to the work of thine hands. And that's what makes the difference. God's investment in my life, God's investment in your life, is what makes the difference in whether there's purpose, in whether there's reason for life, in whether pain will make us better or bitter. God's investment in my life makes that difference. Verse 16, he's saying, you've numbered my steps. God has that much of an interest that he has actually charted out where each of our steps will take us. He knows the number of those steps. He knows where each of those steps will take us. It says, my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. If we allow God to take our transgressions and seal them up in a bag, it makes a difference in the outcome. Now, before verse 18, where we were wishing the mountains would just fall on us and take our life, he's saying the falling of the mountains is going to yield nothing. It's not going to destroy God's purpose for us. Even if the mountains fall on us, if we are walking the steps that God has appointed, it comes to naught. In the past, we read stories of people whose lives, and it's happening even today, they're living lives of faithfulness, and yet they reap pain. They reap anger at the hands of people who are convicted by their lives. They might reap death by the hands of those who are angry, convicted by the lives they're living. And yet, did that death squelch the voice of God? No, it does not bring the steps of God to naught. It allows for God's purpose will continue to go forward. Verse 19, the waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the earth. Thou destroyest the hope of man. And I would like to say from that verse, if our hope is in the natural, if our hope is in things created, that it's going to wear away. God has a way of dealing with the natural things about us, of shaking our platform of stability if we're building it on natural things. God has a way of just wearing away at that little bit at a time. Verse 20, thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth, thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. If we're focused in the natural, those waters are just going to wear the things away, and we're going to feel like God is working against us. Verse 21 says, we're that consumed that even when our children are coming to honor, we're not noticing it. When they're coming to dishonor, we're not noticing it. His summary, his flesh shall have pain, and with soul within him shall mourn. That's the man that is not claiming the investment of God in his life. There's trouble and pain and a soul that is mourning. And we are in the body. We experience some of this. But I would like to take a look at man in God. Turn with me to Psalm 1, a very familiar psalm. Psalm 1, I'm going to read the whole psalm at this time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Second part of the message, we're looking at our situation, man in God. And it changes. It changes the focus. It changes the outcome. Verse 1, we see blessing. Blessing to the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And as we look at this, we see a delight in the law of the Lord. His focus, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His focus is totally different. It's not on the natural things that are eroding. It's not on what he can make of himself. But his delight, his foundation is found in the law of the Lord. Goes on to say he meditates in that day and night. That's what consumes him. That's what drives him. It's the driving factor in his life. And what does it say the outcome of that is? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree, a fruitful tree, a tree that yields fruit in its time. Goes on to say, what he does shall prosper. You know, in the natural sense, there are times when we do feel that erosion. But we can experience the blessing, the fruitfulness in our spiritual lives. We're not guaranteed prosperity in a natural sense. But we are guaranteed prosperity in our spiritual lives if we deal with these things, if we focus ourselves in the law of the Lord, if we lay aside the concern for the natural. Psalm 1:6, verse 6, I think the most beautiful part of this is that we are known of the Lord. The faithful is known of the Lord. What more can we ask? We are known of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Third part of the message, I want to look briefly at God our Father. We see the natural journey of man, what he is without claiming the promises of God. We saw what man can be as he claims God's blessing and as he dwells in the law of the Lord. I want to see what God is doing on behalf of man. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18 has this to say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here is the call of God on our lives. He's saying, leave the idolatry. Get rid of that. That belongs over there. Toss it. Come out from it. Separate yourself from it. And come to me. And God says, I will be your father. In the natural sense, we all have a father. But our experiences with our fathers can be so widely varied because of the two paths that we looked at, the path of natural man, the path of walking in the law of the Lord. But God is saying, I will be your father. This morning, your natural father has had a deep impact on your life. But God is saying here, regardless who your natural father was, I will be your father. That's comforting. That's a blessing to know that God will invest in our lives as father. Every one of you can look back on your natural father and see shortcomings. Some of you, it was much more than shortcomings. It was abuse. But when we claim God as our father, he is a perfect father. He is a father where we can find security, safety, comfort. And we'll look at a few of those things as we go through the last section of the message. But another thing I want to say, 1 Thessalonians 1 says, we are in God our Father. That's an experience a whole lot more intimate than we can have with our earthly father. We are in God. We are an integral part of God. God has chosen it that way. We are in God our Father. The last section of the message, I want to look at fathers under God. And if you're not a father, just cross that word off and say mentors under God. Because each of us is influencing people somewhere. Each of us has a reach to the people around us. Each of us, well, let me say it this way. None of us is on an island not affecting others. God has placed us with an influence on many others. Give me just a second here. I wrote down the verses, and I failed to write down the chapter that I pulled them out of here for the next section. First Thessalonians. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 11. And we're going to pull out of here several points of mentors under God, fathers under God. To you fathers this morning, we're actually reading a passage where Paul is talking about what the preachers did for the Thessalonians. But verse 11 in chapter 2, he says this, And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. He said, we were to you what a father would be to his natural children. And so I want to learn what these attributes were. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. For even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Okay, as we look at these points, I see some restless children here. I got something I want the children to help out with, and I don't care what age children. Just to make a point here, we're going to be building some towers with these blocks. As we live our lives, we are building something. Go ahead, children, line up in two lines. Younger ones, maybe the older ones should watch out for. But go ahead, line up in two lines, starting, yeah, right there behind Daniel. And we can start a line over here. Okay? What we are going to do, in life we can build in two different ways. We can build with a foundation, which means we build out. We make something wide, and then we build on top of that. Or we can build quick and try to get tall fast. We're going to make this one tall as fast as we can. We're going to make this one over here with a good foundation. And you're going to see it's not going to get tall as fast. But we're going to see what happens. Okay? You can each take a block and lay it out. Let's push these out to the corner where you can get them. Go ahead, put a block here. And Alexi, if you put a block right here. Okay, now, why don't you go around back to your seat, and Daniel, you can go around back to your seat. We're going to give some of the others a chance. No, you don't have to tear it down. That's fine. Okay, put a couple more blocks in there, and you go put another block or two on that tower. As we are fathers under God, We have several points here. Verse 2, okay, you can go ahead, go back around as you put your block in, go back around to your parents. Verse 2 calls us to prayer. We're going to see that over here. We're seeing the foundational stuff over here. Go ahead, put a block on top. Start another layer. And as we do these things, we're building a foundation. Verse 3, we have remembering. What are we remembering? We are remembering a work of faith and labor of love. Okay? Okay. We're going to go ahead. Let's just come keep building on this tower. I don't have enough blocks to build on both of them. So go ahead, line up again. And you just can build this tower. Keep building it. Verse 4, knowing the election of God. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. He has... What happened to the tower? Molly, did you do that? Why did it fall? Go ahead, start it over again, Alexi. Molly did not do it. Molly just happened to build another block on top of something that was not very established, not very foundational. As we know the election of God, we have an assurance. God has a purpose. God has reason. Verse 5 talks about how there's power in God and the Holy Ghost. We see that over here. We see power in God and the Holy Ghost. It's almost standing, but if I bump this a little bit, it might not stay. Verse 6 is a challenge as fathers under God to be a leader that can be followed, that can be safely followed. Okay, line up again, and let's keep building this one. Let's see how tall we can make that one without it falling over. Verse 8, and this is one of the things I want us to see in the tower, how our effects reach from person to person. Fathers, what you're building today, line up in the line over there. We're going to use all the blocks over here, okay? Go ahead, go around to the back of the line. We'll keep building until the blocks are gone, hopefully. Okay? Go ahead, Douglas, around to the back. What you build today is affecting the future for generations to come. And I hope this little illustration can show us that. Okay, let somebody else go. And verse 2 talks about the things that we experience, the things that we need to go through. Put 2 on and then let Jasper put some on, okay? Suffering. Verse 2 talks about things we don't like. But suffering. Shamefully being entreated. We have... Verse 4 talks about how we do it not as men pleasers. Right there. That's back to Molly again. I have a question for you. What happens if we start pulling blocks out of the bottom so we can put them on the top? It falls down. You're right. Okay, you just can go back to your seats. In life today, we like to build without the suffering. We like to be the men pleasers that verse 4 in chapter 2 talks about. We like to build quick and be noticed. Something that men would look up to. Verse 7 talks about being gentle as a nurse. That belongs on this side. Gentleness, patience. Verse 8, affection. This is fathers under God, mentors under God, whatever you have on your notes. Verse 9, laboring night and day. This one is a lot harder to do, to get tall. There's a lot of labor in that. There's a lot of struggle in that. But verse 10 talks about some beautiful characteristics of the person that will build in this way. Talks about holy. We use the term saint sometimes. This says we are holy. In other words, this person is a saint. How many of you fathers feel like you are a saint? Not many of us feel that way. But this passage actually says, you're holy. We can take that and say, you're a saint. You're righteous. You're just. It's the next thing it says. You're unblameable. How many of you feel you're unblameable? You know, I don't either.
Working on it.
We make mistakes.
I strive for that.
That's right. We make mistakes. And it's hard for us to get past the fact that we make those mistakes. But here it says, unblameable. And you know, it's only because of God's investment in us that we can claim that unblameable.
Amen.
It's only as we allow him to seal those sins in that bag and toss them away, was a word picture that Job gave. As we allow him to take our sins and nail them to his cross, take them away through his blood, that we can be called unblameable. Another characteristic I see is somebody that's exhorting, somebody that is teaching. Somebody that is, well, let's keep going. Next one we see is comforting here in verse 10. As fathers, that is not our first gift, to be a comforter, to be tender when somebody is hurting. But as a father under God, that is one of our characteristics, to be comforting. Verse 10 to me is really challenging. Again, the last one I'm seeing here is charging. What are we talking about when we talk about charging? Doesn't that mean that we're giving a purpose to the people that are under our care? We're giving them a purpose. We're giving them a reason for fulfillment. This tower right here could go up probably to this height and still not fall. If there's a foundation, it will carry forth in generations to come. You know, if we have down here the prayer and the comforting, the exhortation, the charging, the righteousness, the holiness, that's a platform for generations to come. And this really does injustice to the picture. Because if you were to draw that out, you would have Father here, and he influences his children. Maybe there's 4 or 5 of them. Maybe there's 8 or 10 of them. Maybe there's more. But you know, each of those has potential to be a father or a mother that is influencing that many children again. And each of those has potential to be father or mother that is influencing that many children again. If this father down at the very bottom does not build on this platform, it leaves an influence that will probably erode the platform for all the rest of those above, to where few of them will choose to build on this platform. Brothers and sisters, today, you are all mentoring somebody. There is somebody that is looking up to you. There is somebody that is looking at you and saying, I can follow you as you follow God. And I want to let with us loudly and clearly that the effects of that are far reaching. The effects of that will reach to the lives of thousands of people, millions of people probably. Abraham was called the father, faithful father, father of righteousness. Today, we can track his lineage. 10 generations from now, people may or may not be able to track your lineage, but that does not matter. The question I want to leave to you is, will your lineage be faithful because of what you did. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.